somebody could remind the kids to come up 250 first Sunday of the month. We will have communion service, Lord's Supper. But prior to that, we will also have ministry time. That will take about 15, 20 minutes. Anyway, everyone had a good Thanksgiving? Yeah. It's always a little dangerous to ask because in reality, not everyone has a great Thanksgiving, you know. I remember working at Yale New Haven Hospital. The hard times for a fair number of people is during the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. And one of the saddest scenes in my life were being in a hospital room and a person had just died. And there's no one, no family member, no friend. And I had a few of those. And to die all alone, to die in that kind of state, I mean, that, it just moved my heart. It would move anyone's heart, you know. And so these holidays like Thanksgiving, it's not so much the food. Maybe when you're a kid, you go for the food. But it's really to connect with people. And I would say my mom's favorite holiday was probably Thanksgiving. Growing up, she would make everything from scratch. You know, I'm back in the day, you didn't have these instant. I remember helping her bake potatoes and mashing the potatoes. And so she was good with American food, not so good with Korean food, because she never grew up learning how to make Korean food, actually. The only kind of food she got expert in was American food, because she did some cooking at the U.S. Embassy. And one of the ongoing poking of my dad is like, you don't know how to make food. Well, she can make a lot of other food. And so when my mom got hired as a housekeeper, day one, this wife of a general from Texas said, she went by her English name, American name, Rosa. Here's your test. I want you to make fried chicken. And no sweat. This is back in 72 summer. She whipped up a fried chicken that any Texan would be proud of. And she said, you're hired. You know? And so I remember. But she would love to set everything up. Crystal, silverware, just the whole thing. And she even had name cards for all of us. And we would have some friends. And when the girls were young, we would have a gathering. And I could tell it was a labor of love. It wasn't about the food. It was about family. You know, it was just being together. And so because my mom's 96 and she has not been well, we don't do these celebrations anymore. And all her crystals and silverware, she gifted Suzanne. So we had a good one with our own family and Aiden, Serena's friend. But I remember these occasions because this is also a time to be really thankful. You know, I mean, Thanksgiving should be a day of giving thanks. And so I want to continue that theme, Thanksgiving. And it connects naturally with the series of last month, which is generosity. When we consider the generosity of God, we naturally are thankful. It's hard to stop at just generosity. When we recognize the generosity of God, we will naturally be thankful for his generosity. And the generosity itself is an expression of love. God is generous because God is love. There is generosity in the Godhead. I didn't bore you by reading a section from Richard of St. Victor, but I summarize it, that in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is love. And the highest form of love is sharing that love. But in order to share that, you need someone. You need a person. So that the love that the Father and the Son enjoy, that amazing love, will want to be shared, that the Father and Son wants to share the amazing love that they have, and so therefore the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And then the love that the Spirit and the Son has, they share it with the Father and so forth, Father and the Spirit on the Son. And so generosity is eternal. And so when we become believers, we just enter into that. We don't create that. God invites us to his generous heart. And the heart of God is generous. That's why he always overdoes things. My cup overflows. There's always extra food after the miracles of Jesus. Plenty of wine left. It wasn't about efficiency. It's about abundance and feasting. And as believers, when we enter into that, we begin to feel like God. Or we begin to understand how God feels. So then when we meet people who are especially in need, our hearts flow with generosity. We're generous not only with family and friends, but strangers too. And this generosity is the very basis of God's kingdom economy. The whole Jubilee is based on that. Everyone return home. All of those who've lost land, you get your land back. And it was such a radical call. There's no record in Scripture that the Jubilee year was actually lived out. The sabbatical year was lived out. There are evidences for that. But the Jubilee year was even too radical for Israel. But you see God's intention. And the man of Jubilee is Jesus. He comes, and Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 are quoted at the end to proclaim the Lord's favor, year of the Lord's favor. That's a Jubilee text. And in Jubilee, everyone comes home. Everyone is restored. Their identity is restored. Their debts are canceled. They're made whole. So that the feast of Jubilee, that sabbatical 50-year Jubilee, is also a prophetic sign of the man, of the God-man, who will fulfill the promise of Jubilee. And so we are to be Jubilee people. When I heard many, many years ago, my friend named his church Jubilee Church. I don't know, to my ears, like, word Jubilee sounds so Southern. No offense, Kent, but it's like Southern. Like when I heard Calvary Baptist, that sounds so rural. So Baptist or Pentecostal, there's certain words. If you have the word St. John, St. Mark, sounds very Episcopalian, high church, you know. Just put a, if you want to be, you know, if you want to draw the elite, just put the word Saint. St. John, St. Paul's, you know, St. Peter's. But if you want the ragtag country folks, call your church Jubilee. We're going to have a Jubilee church. Calvary, if you could even double that, Calvary Jubilee Church. But anyway, that word Jubilee, meaning trumpet, I mean, it's beautiful. So, you know, as I was praying about this Sunday, it just, I was in the spirit of generosity or thanking God for his generosity. And I thought, well, today it's appropriate, even though it's the first day of Advent, it's appropriate to follow along this flow of generosity and thanksgiving. I was going to ask you, and I will right now, how many of you want to be joyful? How many of you enjoy being depressed? Okay. Perfect. Good. Okay. You know, everyone wants to be happy, joyful. I mean, that's just built in. And I would say some people have a head start. Like looking at my own family, the two people who have a head start are the ones who are like even keel, Suzanne and Jonna, okay? Overall, they have good attitude. I mean, I live with them. They wake up, they have good attitude. Suzanne is mostly joyful. She's got a great attitude. Me and Serena, on the other hand, depends on the day. we are moody, to be gentle. We are moody. We ride the mountains and the valleys, especially the long valleys, you know, and so certain people have the temperament. Okay? But to be joyful, you don't need temperament. Everyone could be joyful, grow in joyfulness. Okay? Now, I say they have a head start because they come, you know, they're... It's always sunny, even when it's cloudy, you know. Glass is half full, so to speak. Or it's full. Half water and half air, that's still full, you know. And so there are people like that. But even for people like me, there is hope. And I've experienced joy. So I went on this long bike ride this past Wednesday. Note to self, don't go on long bike rides after long bike ride before, a hard bike ride before. But my brain does not work so well. So I went on a Tuesday bike ride, a little hard. And then on Wednesday, I go, you know what? The weather's nice. I'm going to go on another one. And the way my mind works is not healthy. Once it clicks in, I must accomplish it. So I had in mind to go on this long ride. And I could tell after mile two, oh, no, I'm not in good shape. But I made a personal contract. Yeah, I didn't sign anything. No one knows about it. It's just me. I signed my own personal contract because I'm going to go on this long bike ride. And at mile two, I go, ooh, this is going to be painful because my legs are already tired. But I signed the contract. I'm not sure if that's OCD. But Dr. Hunza, you could tell me later. But anyway. But the long bike ride overall was really a time of blessing. Because what I did was I just spent thanking the Lord for his character, and just as people's faces came up and names, and there were so many people that came up. And so the ride was less painful. Well, it was still painful. When I got home, I go, that was hard. But I was just so thankful for all the people who blessed me and how the Lord blessed me. And some of you were on that list, many of you here. And just going through, it's like watching an old VHS tape, you know, like old family movies that that we made. And I was just filled with thanks. Lord, you have been so good. And even though physically I was exhausted, there was a spirit of just deep gratefulness. Lord, thank you for the life that I have. Thank you so much. And the thankfulness I have is could be phrased in the following way. Nevertheless, I'm thankful. Like this morning, Suzanne talked with my sister, and my sister's, she's a saint, and she's funny. She's hilarious. I wish she could have just gone onto TV. She would have been part of the Seinfeld writing team. I mean, she's just constantly witty. I wish I could just record her everywhere she goes. She's just constantly flowing with witticisms and just amazing things. I don't know if I told you this. When she was in college, we picked her up in Boston from New York. She took the Peter Pan and she looked disheveled and we picked her up and she's like, John, I swear, when God sends people to hell, he's going to send them through Peter Pan. And what are people doing getting in the bus without any luggage? There's a guy that came in with just a KFC box of chicken. Like, where is he going? It's like a Seinfeld thing, you know? So this morning she called and she said, oh, the refrigerator died. But thankfully we have a refrigerator downstairs. Like, you know, I don't want 2024 to be the year of death. Mom, I thought Mom was going to pass away last night, my mom. Dad passed away 2-4-2-4. And I'm just overhearing this conversation with Suzanne and my sister Elizabeth. But although she complained in that little episode and she was funny, she'll just say, I just want Mom to, I'm hoping she'll make it through December. So they're just taking one holiday at a time. You know, like, let's make it through Thanksgiving. Let's make it through Christmas. But I share the story because for my sister and for myself and my brother too, there is this, nevertheless, we are thankful. Nevertheless, even though my mom's struggling, even though my father passed away this past February, nevertheless, all in all, we are full of thanks. Okay. And I want to convey that to your job today is to express your thanks and to be thankful. Okay. That's your assignment and that's your victory today. Yesterday afternoon, I was at the special occasion. Good to see you, Rose. I had a short conversation with a young lady. She said, oh, yeah, I saw you on YouTube. And when someone says that to me, I know what YouTube they're talking about. It's the one with the demons. Because that's the only one people watch. Like, hey, I saw you on YouTube. And then I don't know how to respond immediately. I don't know if I should say thanks or I just say, I'm just ready with the question. I mean, we had one guy a while back while I was overseas, guy who drove like 5-6 hours from upstate New York just to get here. And he was a little upset because I wasn't here. And so when people show up to church because they watch my YouTube, it's, you know, we're ready. We'll pray for people. You know, and but anyway, she saw my YouTube and she was asking me questions about the demons. And so that got me to thinking about the emotional life of demons. Emotional life. I know they're in fear. They have fear, because in my own interaction, they fear the name of Jesus. They don't want to be kicked out. They know terror very well. But what they don't know is thankfulness. They don't have generosity. They don't have love. And so the emotional life of Satan and the demons, there is such a thing as an emotional life, really reveals something to us of where emotionally we should be. Demons are motivated by fear. We should be motivated by love. Demons are stingy, possessive. We should be opposite. We should be generous and thankful. Okay. And so I was thinking, I was considering the emotional life of demons. And if demons have a set of emotions, as a response to that, you go, you know what, I'm going to stay away from those emotions of anger, murder, hatred, you know, paranoia, jealousy, all this kind of things. I'm going to stay away from it. I'm going to invest in the emotions of God or emotions appropriate to God's people. And one of the key emotions is thankfulness. Okay. And if you want to grow in joy, there is a proven solution, and that is exercise your gratefulness muscle. We cannot command ourselves to be thankful. Be thankful or be joyful, we can't. But we can exercise a discipline of giving thanks. And as we give thanks, or as we grow in gratefulness, a byproduct of that is you will find yourself being more joyful. Okay? Joy and gratefulness go together. Think about someone who's full of joy, you will always find gratefulness. Okay? If you find someone who's really grateful, you're going to find joy. They come as a package. Joy itself can't be commanded upon us, but we can exercise gratefulness. Okay. Anyway, let me read a passage for us, and this is going to be the basis of the rest of the message and the basis of your exercise, okay, with ministry with one another. Short psalm of praise, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So there is a calling to give thanks, but it's not give thanks for God is God. There's a grounding. There are reasons given for giving thanks. The first two reasons are this. He made us. Can we all just say, Lord, thank you for creating me. Let's all do that. Thank you for creating me. Okay. One of the funnest courses I've taught is right now. I'm teaching philosophy of religion. And so last week's topic was death and afterlife. And there was an article we read by a non-believer named Thomas Nagel. He's a fine philosopher at NYU. And his piece is on death. And he's responding to an ancient argument by Epicurus, who argue that we should not be afraid of death. Death is just like the other side of our pre-existence. It's an argument from symmetry. Like, none of us grieved over the time before we were born. Therefore, we should not grieve about our death, because we're going to be unconscious, the same thing. So Thomas Nagel looks at that argument and says, I don't see this symmetry. So he asks the question, is death evil? Is death itself evil? Is it bad? Is it something to grieve over? And he argues, I think, very persuasively, that life, overall, if it's considered a good, then the loss of the life is bad. Okay? And he says, even for people who suffer, overall, the gift of life, the fact that they've been alive and conscious to experience things, that's a good, and to consider that person will no longer exist, to contemplate, to think about that, it is sad. It's a form of evil. Very subtle, powerful argument. And on an everyday scale, I think most human beings have that. Even the people who struggle, they fight for survival. They're in the hospital. No, I want to live. And none of the doctors will whisper, but your life is crappy. It's terrible. You should just want to die. No, I want to live. But you don't have a job. You don't have people that love. I want to live. People want to live because they don't want to die. And it's not necessary. There's a fear of death. They want to be awake. They want to be alive. Okay. And so at a very basic level, all of us who are alive should be thankful that we are alive. Lord, thank you that you made us. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Thank you that you made us, you created us. And then on top of that, we belong to God. Amazing. We are his. We know God and we belong to him. That's question number one of Heidelberg Catechism. We'll cover that later. That in life and in death, we belong to God. This catechism, confessions, were written in the context of a lot of tension, a lot of difficulty. And the beauty of the Heidelberg Catechism was that it's very pastoral, very personal. In Jesus we have salvation. What does that salvation mean? We belong to God. So that in life or in death, we are his. Can we all just say thank you that we belong to you? In life and in death. tremendous. When my dad passed away, a few days later, I'm driving, I have a vision. It's always a little dangerous having vision while you're driving, okay? And it's like, you see two things. I see the road on the... And I see my dad with Jesus, and first thing I mentioned is like, he's surprised he made it. I could see my dad like, huh? It's again. Like in Korean, like, how? Like, how did this happen? And I see Jesus coming, hugging him. Not saying anything, just hugging him. And I see my dad kind of melting into his arms. Then the next thing, like, my dad gets distracted. Because he's a gardener. He's like, oh, what? Like, he's like taken by the grass and the flowers. So I have this vision. My dad's like, oh, this is so beautiful. Much like what he said when he first visited me in seminary. I was nervous because I had dropped out of med school. And he was ticked off with me. And I was nervous because he's going to visit me at Gordon Conwell. And so he comes up. I open the door. My dad says, he doesn't even say hi. He goes, wow, this place is beautiful. John, do you see the hills and the mountains and the stone walls and the trees? I didn't want to interrupt because he was in such a good mood. I didn't want to like stop him from that happiness. Yeah, Dad. I'm thinking, like, that has nothing to do with seminary, but it's all right. He was in such a great mood. And so I saw that. And that's a huge comfort to me. In life, now in death, my father is with the Lord. He had his faith, trust. I mean, he was struggling with dementia too. But there was a sincere faith. And to see my father healed in mine and seeing him, that really touched me. We belong to him. If you think about it, everything else is icing. Okay, if you are alive and you belong to God, you won the lottery. You won it. Everyone say, I won the lottery. I won the lottery. Everything else is icing. Everything else is icing. Everything else is adventure and fun. I use Andrew's favorite word. Everything else is assignments, okay? Everything else is just fulfilling God's purpose on the earth. But the most important things are secure. You are created and you belong to God, no matter what happens. Everything else is extra. Extra. Then in the second section here, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to his praises name. And then it focuses on the character of God. For God is good, Tov, he is good. There is no evil in God. There's certain things that God cannot do because his moral character constrains him. He cannot do unholy things. He is good all the time. And his love, I love the Hebrew, hesed, endures forever. Loyalty, faithfulness, sometimes it's translated mercy or attachment love. His love endures forever. His love for us endures forever. The relationship that God has with us is one of hesed. Unconditional. That's what all these covenantal language is about. You belong to me and I am your God forever. No matter how you feel. You could break fellowship. You could do things that would pain my heart. But you are my son and my daughter forever. His love endures forever. And we want a God like that. Not that we could choose what kind of God we could serve, but God is like that. That's our firm basis. The character of God does not change. Thanks be to God, His character does not change. His character towards us does not change. We cannot nullify the chesed He has for us. That's forever. And if that's true, wow, we rejoice. And His faithfulness continues through all generations. For those of us who worry about our kids and grandkids, as the Lord has been faithful to you, He will be faithful to the generations. The eternal God is committed to the generations. That's every grandparent's desire. My mom just wants to see some milestones in her grandkids. You know, Jonathan gets to med school, Serena has to graduate, and so forth. One thing at a time. You know. But one thing she doesn't have to worry about is God's faithfulness. God will be more faithful to our kids and our grandkids than we can be ourselves. When we are dead and gone, God will still be faithful to our daughter's generation, her, and grandkids and following. God is the God of the generation. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. God is generous and committed. That gives us security. That gives us confidence. That gives us rootedness. This thing called thankfulness, gratefulness is actually good theology. It's not emotion fundamental. It's good theology. A philosopher, I would say the best philosopher in the philosophy of emotion is Robert C. Roberts. He was at Wheaton for a number of years. Then he went to Baylor. He's got a book on emotions. And he says, as a philosopher, as he analyzes what emotions are, he says it's a concern-based construal. Okay, it's hard to say. Concern-based construal. Basically, when you look at emotions in the human person, emotions, the appropriate emotions, gives you insight into what's actually happening. Okay. If you see a sad, terrible situation, the emotions of sadness, a sense of tragedy, gives you access or understanding of that reality. Okay. If something terrible happens and somebody laughs or is indifferent, then that something is wrong with that person. They don't understand. They don't have the interpretive lens. When a child is born and the parents are like, oh, there's something wrong. When someone dies and there's no grief, something is wrong. So our emotions really inform our understanding of actual situations. At the heart of gratefulness is seeing reality. God, you made us. God, we belong to you. Therefore, I am thankful. It's based on truth. It's not based on emotion. It's based on understanding. Okay? God, your character is good. You are full of love. You are faithful. For that, I am thankful. Now, if you don't see His goodness, if you don't see His chesed, if you don't see His faithfulness, then you don't have any reason to be thankful. On that respect, the emotion of thankfulness will simply be absent. Okay, if you don't see that you belong to God, and you may not belong to God at this stage, then you don't have the basis, the grounding to be thankful. But when you do, then thankfulness is the proper response to that situation. Let's say you have cancer and there's a protocol and doctors and researchers work hard and now you are alive. What's your response to that doctor and the researcher? Thank you so much for taking me as a trial. Now I am alive. Thank you for taking a risk on me. Thank you so much. So our gratefulness glorifies God because it glorifies the truth of what's happening. It recognizes what's happening. Okay? And that's why we have basis grounding reasons to be thankful every day. Every day you could pray this prayer. Lord, thank you that you made me. Lord, thank you that I belong to you. Lord, thank you that you are good. Your love endures forever. You are faithful to all generations. Lord, as I consider these five reasons, I am filled with thanks. Okay? It's just our minds tracking with reality. A reality that God has created. The reality of who we are and our lives. Okay? So for your assignment, I want you to gather together in a group of maybe 3-4. And if you would share 3 things that you are thankful for. Okay? 3 things. One can be a character of God. Maybe a face of God or a character of God that you are thankful for. Okay? Another one could be, you know, a recent circumstance. Maybe a healing. Or a job, something that happened, and you saw the hand of God at work, okay? Okay? And the third could be how God has made you. God, you have made me, not in a general way, but with my quirks, with my talents. Okay? It's good to thank God for the idiosyncratic weirdness of who you are, okay? I have more, and Tom Go has a lot, and so we have a lot of reasons to be thankful. And much of that can be translated into Chuck Norris jokes, right, Tom? Yeah, okay. And so, thank God for your personal traits. Okay. Okay. And so, if we could just gather, okay? Well, about 10 minutes, just share. Just share. Okay, and you don't have to even pray. You could just say, you know what? This is what I'm thankful for. I know there are some new people, but don't worry. Okay? Just gather in small groups. Kids, you could just share like 2-3 things. Okay? Just share with one another. What are you thankful for? What's up? Today we are thankful, one, to be alive. You made us. We thank you that we belong to you. And we thank you that we are getting to know you more and more. Lord, may your presence increase in our lives. May your love be experienced in newer and deeper, richer ways, Lord. Lord, we just agree with the psalmist. We're going to shout for joy to you. We're going to worship the Lord with gladness. We're going to come before you with joyful songs. And we will know that the Lord is God. You have made us, and we are yours. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. And Jesus, you are a great shepherd. You look after each one of us so well. We will enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. We will give thanks to you. And praise your name. For you, living God, you are good. Tov, you are good. And your love has said endures forever. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. And it continues in our lives. So we are thankful today. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.